This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. This week, the U.S. felt the grip of the polar vortex, setting freezing records everywhere. But the frigid weather could have an upside. It could be nature's weapon in the battle against invasive insects, perhaps freezing them to death as they sleep. Could it stop the Asian longhorned beetle from decimating trees in New York? What about the emerald ash borer in the Midwest? Will it affect bee mites? How about fleas and ticks? Yeah, they're all out there. Rob Vanette is a research biologist with the U.S. Forest Service. He joins us from Minnesota Public Radio in St. Paul, where they know something about the cold, don't you, Rob?
Yeah, absolutely. Hi, Ira.
What was your cold this week? How cold did it get there?
Yeah, just outside our lab, we were down to minus 24 on Monday morning.
Now, is that cold enough to kill off some of the insects around there?
Well, that's what we like to call where things start to get interesting. We've been working on the emerald ash borer in particular, and that's where we think temperatures start to become lethal for that insect.
And how lethal is that insect to trees?
Well, this is one of the most important invasive insects that's shown up in North America in recent decades. Estimates vary considerably, but right now we're estimating that it may have killed as many as 50 million ash trees throughout the country.
50 million? Wow. And so how could the cold, where is the beetle that it's getting so cold?
Well, a few parts to that. So first, within the United States and North America in general, this insect has a pretty widespread distribution. So we're looking at about 21 states that currently are dealing with emerald ash borers. Showed up in Colorado for the first time just this year. That's as far west as it's ever gone. It goes down to Georgia, so that's as far south. And then up through New England into Quebec and then over to Ontario. So that basically covers the range of the insect in this continent.
So what do they do? What do they do in the wintertime to evade the cold?
What they're doing is they're just hanging out beneath the bark of an ash tree, waiting for temperatures to warm back up and for them to resume their normal development. The beautiful green beetles that have become very popular in a sense, and I think there's even a photo on the website, those are all dead. They all died with the fall temperatures, and it's just those immature stages that are hanging out.
And they're right below the bark, you say?
They are. This insect doesn't go deep into the heart of a tree, so it's just hanging out right beneath the bark.
So you have to be close enough to the bark so that the cold really gets to you.
You do. And that's one of the vulnerabilities of the emerald ash borer, is that it doesn't get a whole lot of protection from the tree in terms of insulation. It maybe gets 1 or 2 degrees Fahrenheit, which is a help, but it's certainly not enough to save it when temperatures get really bitter cold.
And so how cold does it have to get to kill off that insect?
Right. We like to say that there's really no magic number for this. But in general, what we've seen in our own research is that as temperatures get between minus 20 to minus 30 degrees Fahrenheit, that's where things really do get interesting. And at a minus 20, we expect on the order of about 50% mortality. And as you get close to that minus 30, we're looking at somewhere greater than 90%. And a few degrees, one way or the other, makes a big difference.
So you're kind of rooting for it to be colder.
Yeah, I think I'm one of the few people in the state that is actually praying for a really cold winter.
Because it could kill off a great number of them, right?
Absolutely. And so potentially with the cold that we've already seen, we could be seeing as much as 80% mortality.
80%. And you're saying it affects tens of millions of trees. What about the other kinds of invasive species? Here back east and around the country, I know the Asian longhorned beetle is the bane. Any luck in that one?
Well, you know, that one is a really interesting insect. It's got quite a bit different biology. So unlike the emerald ash borer, Asian longhorned beetle goes deep into the wood of the tree. So it's right in the center. And one of the things that's very remarkable about this particular insect is that it's a freeze-tolerant insect, in the sense that it can get cold enough to cause that insect to freeze, and it still survives, which is remarkable.
How does it do that? It's got antifreeze in it or something?
It controls the freezing process. So this insect begins to freeze when temperatures get down to about minus 14, and a good part of the country saw those kinds of temperatures this last week. But when that ice starts to form, unlike other many other insects, it's controlling how that ice forms, where it forms in the body, so that it doesn't damage the body tissues.
What about common fleas and ticks that might be on our, you know, our pets? Are they living outside at this time?
They sure are. A lot of them are not associated with any sort of host. They're free living at this stage. And they can be in a variety of life stages depending on which sort of a tick we're talking about. What's a little surprising about this one is that it doesn't seem nearly as cold tolerant at face value. So these insects begin to freeze, oh, anywhere from about 7 to 14 degrees above zero. Right. But what's amazing about ticks and why they're so successful is they're very good at finding microhabitats. So they crawl underneath a leaf litter. They take advantage of a snowpack.
Right.
And so when you look at the places where they hang out, it stays about 28 degrees Fahrenheit all winter long.
All right, let's move on to the gypsy moth, because I, you know, they're a bane to my existence, too, in my backyard.
Yeah, well, and we here in Minnesota are very concerned about the gypsy moth. They're just starting to show up in the state, and we're very concerned about the possibility of them becoming established. This winter may have helped us out a little bit there, too. The eggs are the overwintering stage, and those are just on the surface of the tree. And those freeze at around minus 17.
Oh, good news.
So,
good news.
Very good news. Very good news. Again, a minus 17 isn't going to wipe out every individual in the population, but it sure is going to set things back.
And how long do you have to keep them in this deep freeze? Is it minutes, hours, days?
Well, for these kinds of killing temperatures that we're talking about, it is literally minutes, particularly the things, this emerald ash borer studies that we've been doing, literally 2-3 seconds at these temperatures would be enough to kill them.
Oh.
Other insects, it does take a little bit longer, on the order of hours, but that's not too bad.
Can you actually then use the cold as a way to combat invasive species like this?
Well, I'm not so sure that I would say, you know, using the cold in a traditional sense, although I did have someone contact me to talk about the possibility of developing a treatment for firewood. Firewood is a great way of moving insects around the country. And so to prevent that, they're talking about chilling off firewood down to minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit as a way to kill off a lot of invasive insects and keep them from being moved.
So you could become the refrigerator state.
That's right.
For the wood.
Take advantage of all this gold that we have. That's right. It's a great natural resource.
Right on 35, you put a toll booth for the firewood that's coming in. You're storing it over the winter for them.
There you go.
How about beneficial insects? Are they being killed off here?
Well, you know, a lot of our beneficials naturally are able to deal with the cold quite well. So let's think about things like honeybees.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of concern about honeybees for a number of different reasons. When honeybees are nice and healthy, if they've had a good nectar resource, they've been able to produce a lot of honey, they can actually handle temperatures down to minus 20. Their biology is also pretty spectacular. They're social insects, and they use that social behavior to make it through the winter. So they form a large cluster with the workers and the drones all clustering around the queen, and the bees will literally shiver to generate heat. And that heat keeps the queen warm and keeps the colony going. And as long as is there a healthy population,
right,
they'll do fine.
And is it true that they can generate like over 90 degree temperatures in that hive?
They really can.
Wow.
It's quite spectacular what they can do.
Uh-huh.
Now, however, bees are also facing their own suite of invasive pests, and varroa mite is a really good example of that. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that if a hive is infested with varroa mites, that also makes them more susceptible to the cold.
And you can't get rid of the mites because they're living with the bees.
Exactly, exactly. They're enjoying that warmth as much as the bees are.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying we need to root for cold weather sometimes because it might get rid of some of our invasive insects, and it's a good thing.
Exactly.
All this stuff about the polar vortex and how cold it is, there's a silver lining to it.
There really, really is. But one of the things that I have to remind people is part of the reason that the polar vortex was as miserable as it was because of the horrible wind chills that came along with it. And wind chill is not something that generally affects a lot of insects. Either they're out of the wind in the first place, but more importantly, they're cold-blooded. And wind chill is more of a factor for us. And, you know, we're trying to maintain our body temperature. Insects don't have that problem. So they can chill off and be just fine.
Well, what would you like to know more about how the insects survive the cold? What, in, as a researcher, as a scientist, what would you like
to know? Yeah, there's a lot that's going on right now in our lab. One of the things with emerald ash borer in particular that we want to know about is how does the host, the tree, affect its cold tolerance? In the northern part of Minnesota, we have primarily black ash forests, and it's an incredibly important resource ecologically and economically. In fact, these forests are almost dominated by this one species. And so we want to know exactly, does black ash make emerald ash borer more or less cold tolerant? And our initial results are very encouraging, suggesting that black ash may make them less cold tolerant. So maybe they won't do so well up there.
Hmm. Would they migrate to a warmer climate if global warming is moving things around?
You know, migrate may not be exactly the right term because migration talks about things that happen very quickly. And emerald ash borer doesn't fly like the monarch butterflies do, for example. But if the temperatures do warm consistently over time, we would expect a slow migration north in terms of areas that would be climatically suitable for the insect.
Mm-hmm. And the woolly bear is invasive too, right?
A lot of our woolly bears are native, they're also fascinating insects in that they're also freeze tolerant.
Yeah. So they're one of our favorite subjects here on Science.
Yeah.
Well, we have videos and all kinds of stuff. I want to thank you for taking time to be with us today and wishing you colder weather. I didn't think I would say that to anybody this whole winter, but I'm going to say it to you, Rob. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Much appreciated.
Rob Vanette is a research biologist with the U.S. Forest Service.